All right, let's talk about some spiritual stuff. And show you like the contrast between like natural and spiritual so we can have a better life. Life more abundantly, glory. So once when I was in the world, people used to tell me jokes and I would laugh. And it was good. Stuff was funny. You watch a comedian, someone tells you a joke, something's funny. But when I came to God and nobody even told me a joke, this realm would come and just go swooshing right through my entire being, where I would laugh so intensely that tears would be rolling down my face. And I would feel intoxicated on the love of God, and the spirit of joy would strengthen my entire being. It strengthened my relationship with God. It strengthened my trust in God. Anything of darkness just fell right off because the joy of the Lord hit me. And I noticed like there was a very strong contrast between humor and the spirit of joy. It's the fruit of the spirit. So it's like the joy hits you, but it comes with an atmosphere and a realm. It's like God's joy just explodes out of your heart, and you might not even have enough spiritual understanding to know what's going on. All you know is that God is exploding through your heart, and it's not natural, you know, because after you experience that and you try, someone tries to tell you that there's no God, it's like you have no idea, dude. Like, how do you explain to somebody what you've experienced unless you can bring them into the same experience, let them experience that for themselves? Because that's the only way you can explain it. You have to manifest it. And so that's the same thing with someone who's on the dark side, like depressed, someone with anxiety. I know this through experience that, like, I don't know, I just read, I was listening to a podcast or something like that, and this guy said, Bobby Connor said, you cannot medicate anxiety, you need to repent of it. And instantly, depression. Like, you cannot, like, a lot of people who take medication for depression, I mean, that's fine, but, it's actually a demon spirit that works with other spirits. If you can live from the spirit realm and see what's going on in the natural, because everything that came into the natural came out of the spirit realm. So the way you battle these things is, yeah, you need to repent of it. First of all, you need to acknowledge it, that this is the kingdom of darkness, because there is no depression in heaven. There's no anxiety in heaven. When that spirit comes on you, you just repent. Repent is just repositioning yourself back in Christ. In Christ, Christ is not full of anxiety. Christ isn't depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's no depression in heaven. It's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven. I'll give you my testimony. Like, for 10 years, I was absolutely depressed. I mean, I was this worship leader. I would hit realms of glory and the anointing and the presence of God. God would catch me up to, and still, this depression thing would just hit me, crush me, tear me down. I thought it was me, because I was always looking at myself, like, my life is this, my life is that. And I would actually fortify this depression by agreeing with it and accepting it. Saying, well, I'll always be depressed, I'll always be a loser, I'll always be sinning. Well, no, that's not true. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. You know, cast down every wicked imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the revelation of knowledge of God, what God is like. You're created in the image of God. You don't have to tolerate depression or anxiety. The demon, Satan, is full of depression. He got kicked out of heaven. He's full of anxiety. He knows his time is short. So he's just coming around in your atmosphere and projecting all these thoughts over you through your soul. And then you can, yep, that's where you need to repent. It's like you stop, you cast down those wicked imaginations that throws you into like this spiral called depression. And listen, it doesn't come with just depression, just an emotion. It comes in like a three-chord strand. Like it might, he'll use something that to trigger you. Like the enemy will use like something that happened in your life, or you're fearing, a spirit of fear will come upon you, you'll fear for something of the future. And you'll meditate on that, take your eyes off of Jesus, you'll meditate on these dark things, and you'll start thinking about it, and that's when he has a doorway into you, and you start agreeing by speaking those things into existence, by agreeing with the enemy. Listen, we know the Bible says cast down every wicked imagination. If there's darkness attached to it, it's wicked. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. You're supposed to be the light of the world too. He's made you the light of the world to allow his light to shine through your life, through your mouth, through your hearts, through your mind. We have the mind of Christ. So we don't have to accept the mind of darkness, the mind of Satan, and accuse each other. You know, he's the accuser of the brethren. I see it all over Facebook and YouTube, and people just, he uses Christians who are oblivious to the spirit realm. They accuse one another and condemn one another. How many people did Jesus ever condemn in the Bible? You know, he condemned religious people, but he told them, you need to repent. If you do not believe that I am who I am, he said, that you will die in your sins, Jesus said. Listen, you need to die in him and let him raise you up and sit with him in heavenly places. So I just want to talk about this depression thing for a while. I was depressed for years. I would sit in, like I'd be taking a shower, I'd lean my head against the wall and just cry. And I would just ask Jesus to take me home. And, you know, this hopelessness, it's an atmosphere of darkness that it may not even be you, but somebody maybe throwing witchcraft on you, someone in your household or within your atmosphere may be depressed, and you need to pray for them. You can overcome evil with good. Like you may feel like, oh, I can't even pray, I'm so hopeless. Step out of it by faith. We walk by faith, right? It took faith for Peter to get onto the water and obey Jesus when he said, come. But he walked on the water. He may have walked, like he may have sunk down into the water, but he still obeyed and he stepped out. He was the only disciple to have walked on the water. Everyone else stayed in the boat. He may have sank, but at least he had enough faith to be remembered as one who walked on the water with Jesus. So you just step out of that. Step out of all the darkness. Step out of what everyone else is doing and do what God is doing. Psalms 2 says that the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. All the, like the works, like whatever, the works of darkness are puny compared to the works of God, because God's works are eternal. Works of darkness are temporal. And so how I broke out of depression, I stopped agreeing with the devil. I'd be sitting on a bus one time. I gave this testimony before, but I sat on a bus one time. I was happy. I'm off to see someone, and then all these negative thoughts just hit me after. Like, okay, well, first of all, I was all happy, and then this guy gets on the SkyTrain, and he gets a ticket because he was getting a write-up because he didn't have his ticket or something like that, so he probably got like a fine. Instantly, all these negative thoughts started hitting me, like about this person who I'm going to see that they don't like me, and I'm just they're just. You know, it's not even the will of God, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't even remember what was going on, but I just know, like, all this depression hit me. Instantly happy one second, instantly depressed the next. Like, it didn't make sense. Where did it come from? Was I unstable? Or did it have something to do with that spirit that hit that man that was getting a ticket? So what I did, I said, you know what? I'm not depressed. I think that guy, he's depressed because he's getting a ticket, because something came into the atmosphere when he got a ticket. So I just decided by faith to step out in faith and rebuke that spirit of depression off of him. Who knows if it'll work or not. So I just started rebuking that spirit of depression off of the man. And instantly it left me. It left me. I was back to myself. That atmosphere left me. And I realized right then and there that, wow, this really is a demon spirit. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. It's not all about my Father in heaven. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven. See from a bigger perspective. See from the kingdom of heaven. It's not just you and your little world. It's about God in the heavens. The heaven of heavens. You know? So I started taking my eyes off myself and I started catching those wicked imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, which I'm revealing to you now. And I would start casting them down. I'm not hopeless. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not depressed. That is a spirit. He's depressed. All things are made new. I'm in Christ now. I sit with Christ in heavenly places far above all that depression. I may not feel it right now, but that's where I sit because the Bible says that's where I sit. Christ has not forsaken me. That is a lie. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I cast down these wicked imaginations. My soul may feel this atmosphere. Well, you know, Satan, he's the one who's been rejected. That's why that rejection spirit's there. So get out of here, Satan. You and your rejection, get out. In Jesus' name, I'm accepted in the Beloved. When Jesus got baptized at the water, he came out of the water and the Father said, this is my Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So if you're in the Son, in whom I'm well pleased, God is well pleased. God just wants you in the Son, in His Son. And in His Son, there's fullness of joy, glory unspeakable, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You just got to become more aware of heaven than you are of the earth. And then you'll see the earth through heaven's eyes. You can discern things spiritually more than just naturally. You know, we have the mind of Christ. We can use the mind of Christ. We can have His thoughts. We can experience His joy, His emotions, His spirit. You know, we can experience the joy of the Lord. We can have your own happiness. That's fine. Like, laugh at a joke, whatever. That's cool. But I'm talking about, like, when the joy of the Lord hits you, it's an atmosphere. It's a realm. It's the same thing. Like, you might get sad sometimes. Someone's persecuting you. Someone's attacking you, whatever. But with that depression spirit comes, know that that is not you. You're made in the image of God. God does not have depression. God gets grieved sometimes because, you know, His children rebel and disobey. But God does not have depression. That is a spirit. That is a demon spirit. You have authority to repent of agreeing with that thing and cast it out. Cast it down, the Bible says. It's a wicked imagination that comes with an atmosphere. What does agreeing with depression produce in your life but more depression? What does agreeing with God produce in your life but more of God flowing through your life? So just repent. Reposition, be repositioned back in Christ in heavenly places far above all that stuff and you will prosper. I wish above all that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. What is the Bible, some guy in the Bible said that? God wants us to prosper. God doesn't want us under darkness. Jesus died and rose again so that we could die in Him and rise with Him into glory. So He can have many sons come into glory. In the glory, there's no shame, there's no depression, there's no anxiety. So just repent of the anxiety. Don't agree with it. If God doesn't have that in Him, it should not be in you. Jesus said, the enemy comes and he has nothing in me. We're made in the image of God, so let's just live out of that nature. It's Christ's nature in you. You've been born anew, right? Born again. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ in you, the hope of glory, look, listen, hope is just hope until it manifests. Let God's nature flow through you in word and in deed. Speak His word. Speak the Bible, yeah. Speak revelation, yeah. Speak your dreams and vision, yes. That's how God created the world. He framed it up by the word of God, right? And He spoke, let there be light. He spoke. So what you speak, okay, listen to this, Holy Spirit, Shaka. I love this testimony of this little 8-year-old boy named Randy McLean. And when he was 8 years old, God took him to heaven. And he said, like, imagine the mind of an 8-year-old boy. He's in heaven with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, Randy, this is my world. And your world is what comes out of your mouth. Don't establish what the enemy is doing in your life. Establish what God is doing. Speak His words. That's why Listen, we have many teachers, but there's one teacher. You need to hear Holy Spirit. Through anybody who's teaching, you need to hear Holy Spirit. You don't need to hear doctrines of men, doctrines of demons. You don't need the knowledge of good and evil. You need what Holy Spirit is saying to you personally. Same thing with me. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from His mouth. Do you live? Do I live? He's our bread. He's the bread of presence. He's the truth, you know, it's for freedom that we are set free. He's the freedom that we are set free. He's our daily bread, man. Jesus, feast on Him. The Word of God, you know, the voice of another. Don't follow any other voice but His. And I'm just sharing with you keys. Through experience, I know how deadly that thing can be, man. It's like, match. Oh, that is the darkest demon that has ever come into my life. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that He set me free from it. And I got free by agreeing with Him and stepping out in faith and casting those thoughts down. Same thing with anxiety. A thought will come to me, like, I gotta do that. I start, like, just the spirit realm just starts shaking around me and buzzing. And then you stop and say, no. And you put your hands on your heart and you just go back into that holy place with God. Back into the Holy of Holies and just meditate on Him. And that shaking, everything that can be shaken will be shaken out of the heavens. So just meditate on God. Let there be light. The light of His presence flooding through your heart, flooding through your mind, flooding through your body. It'll just shake away. And you don't have to pay attention to what the demon's doing. Pay attention to what God is doing. Hallelujah. Oh, here's another thing. Just doing some more stuff on Facebook. And, you know, don't throw... You know, the religious people want to throw spears at you and condemn you. And even David, David was a worshiper. Saul brought him in there. Because Saul had this problem with the demon. He had basically, what do you call... I don't remember what that disease was called, but anyways, he would whip spears at David. And David, not once did he go back and grab that spear and throw it back at him. David was just there to release the glory to set him free. David was there as a worshiper to bring an atmosphere of the presence of God to shake all those demon spirits out of there. And so you don't grab Saul's spears and throw them back at you, because those spears were released by a demon. They were released by darkness. David, when he released the rock, it was by faith in God, and it killed the giant. So you need to release the rock. Jesus is the rock. You need to release Him through your mouth and your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, your being, every part of you. As you are the body of Christ, you release Christ through the body. And it will kill demons. It will nullify all their plans. It will just shake them out of the heavens. And the people will get free. And whether they stay free or not depends on whether they receive Christ. Whether they do repent. Because you think when you cast out a devil, if you do not fill that temple with the Holy Spirit, seven worse will come or something like that. Wasn't that written somewhere in the Bible? So... it's one thing to cast a demon out. It's the next thing to reveal it. Okay, now that you're free, you need to receive Christ. Because when the enemy comes back, he's coming back with more to build strongholds in your life. And that's what depression is. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold of the demon. And God is a stronghold, you know. He's He's your shield. He's your peace. He's your salvation. You know, you walk in Christ. You're walking in the gospel shoes of peace you put on. He's your righteousness. He's everything. He's the stronghold. And so he's the stronger man that can break the enemy's power of strongholds in your life is the more you yield to him. And the scary thing about deception, not scary, it's like you just don't even really know that you're deceived until someone else who's come out of that can reveal to you, like, yeah, that's deception. Don't walk in deception. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in liberty. Step out of it. And stay alert in the spirit and just knowing that you have the keys of the kingdom. They're available to you. You don't have to be depressed or full of anxiety or full of torments. Perfect love casts out fear, right? Because fear has torments. Who's perfect love? Conditional love is love wrapped in darkness. That only unconditional love can set it free. Because perfect love casts out that fear veil around your heart. Perfect love sets love free. Is unconditional love will allow your heart just to freely express itself. Out of the heart flows the issues of life, so you can freely express God's life through your very being. And that is the purpose of life. Love, God. It's not pursuing, the purpose of life is not just accumulating revelation. It's not accumulating information. It's not accumulating wealth or money or your job. And the purpose of life is love. And it's like how much of God is formed in you, and how much can you release God through your everyday life? That's the purpose of your life, is to release God through you. And God is love. And that perfect love will cast those demons out. Sometimes it just takes faith to step into it. And once that perfect love has been established in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, your body, or everything just submits to him, you'll be anchored in heaven. And it's like, as you're anchored in heaven, everything on earth is shaking, but you're anchored in heaven. You're just passing through the earth realm. You know that you got your sword of the spirit, and you're just hacking demon heads off. Just pass them through, clearing a path for other people who have just had the same torment, and you're cutting demons' heads off so it's easier for them. Jesus already cut the path. He's the way. You follow him. It's like, Jesus is the way. Jesus is all truth and all life. He's the true life more abundantly, flooding through your hearts. Yeah, so just you get anchored in God, and whenever something happens on the earth, it starts shifting and just like trying to pull you down. It's like, well, you know what? My life is hid with Christ and God, and I'm pretty secure. Although the storms are raging, I've built my life upon the rock. I didn't build with wood, hay, and stubble, flesh, soul, and just stuff that can be burned by the fire of God. Let the fire of God burn out the wood, hay, and the stubble. Let God burn everything that's temporal. If you build your life upon the rock is revelation. The rock is what kills giants. Build your life upon Christ. Build your life upon what God is revealing to you. Frame it. Like he's framed it. Just speak it. Decree it. I told this dream a few times that I was in this conference, in this dream, I had a dream, and I saw this guy, David Hogan, and he came up to me, and he punched me, bam, and he goes, Jesus, and bam, he punches me in this meeting, in the dream, and then within the dream, I go into a vision, and I see all this heavenly graph paper, and it's just like all these rainbow colors, like colors within colors, and sparkly, and just, it's heavenly graph paper, and there was no graph on it, there was just blank graph paper. And then I come out of that, I wake up, and then I go to this youth meeting, and I try to, I told everyone what happened to me, and nobody had the correct interpretation. So then I leave the meeting, and I'm going home again, and then boom, Holy Spirit tells me, that heavenly graph paper is the covenant promises of God in your life. Look at that. What have you decreed? It's blank. You're not decreeing the promises of God. It's rainbow. It's the covenant promises. The rainbow covenant promises of God. It's Joseph's coat of many colors. Listen, when the enemy sees, I'll go back into that in a second. When the enemy sees, like, you know, Joseph's coat of many colors was symbolic of the one who's to come, Jesus, the covenant. You know, it's covered in blood. You know, come on. It's like when Noah, God said, I'll never flood the earth again. This rainbow came out. This is God's covenant. Well, this rainbow of covenant, like, of whatever, Holy Spirit, help me. This graph paper from heaven needs your word to decree the promises of God, to establish it in your life. Speaking and decreeing is very important. We have the authority to speak and to decree. Because we're made in the image of God. God created the worlds by speaking them. So whenever someone reveals a promise to you, and you know it's the Holy Spirit, you know there's spiritual life on it, you're like, wow, that is true. That's the Spirit of truth speaking right there. Write it down, speak it out loud. Read the Bible out loud. If you're depressed, read Psalms out loud. If you want wisdom, read Proverbs out loud. If you want to be more like Jesus, read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Revelation out loud. Just read the entire Bible out loud. I haven't done that yet, but I like to read Proverbs and Psalms and the Gospels out loud. Whatever you read out loud, you get the author's spiritual impartation of what he would receive when he wrote that. So you're decreeing in the Spirit what it is, what is written. And yeah, I feel a lot of peace when I read the Proverbs out loud. I love wisdom. I love the Spirit of wisdom. I love the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, the Father of glory, so I can get to know Him better through experience, through receiving and projecting. Whatever you receive in your spirit, you will project. Some people project religious atmospheres and like filthiness and darkness. Some people project, you know, the glory. They're projecting God through their hearts. So whatever you take in is what you'll project. You can tell what people are eating, the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life, but what they project through their hearts and through their lives. So these are just some keys that some people have taught me over the years. Like, yeah, read the Bible aloud. Speak and decree. That's from God Himself. Speak and decree the promises. What has God promised you? Like, personally. I mean, you can go through the Bible and find all the stuff, but what do you do? What's your situation like? And what does God say about that? Speak what God says about that. You know? God's not willing that any perish, but all come into Him and receive eternal life. That's the most basic. Everybody must have known John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Him, it's not just believing about Him from outside, but you're believing in Him. You're in Him. You're in Christ Jesus. Life. You're in the glory, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for anyone struggling with depression and anxiety. We just break it off them, loose them now, let them go in the name of Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set them free, and give them wisdom and understanding to know that when that spirit comes back, it has no authority over them, but they have all authority in heaven and in earth in the name of Jesus. To cast that wicked imagination down, strengthen them, equip them, put your peace upon them, God, and let them walk in your peace. Put the helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ upon them now in the name of Jesus. Let them take up the sword of the Spirit. Just fight. Get up. Fight. Take up the shield of faith and to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Yeah, you're being attacked by the enemy. It's not God. God does not harm us. He is here to bring us into more of His life so we can walk in the glory just like He walked with Adam in the glory. Fight. Fight back. It's His righteousness. You're walking with His righteousness right over your heart. Breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness. Not yours. our righteousness like filthy rags. That's why we receive his righteousness is an awesome gift from God. Put on the belt buckle of his truth. You're wearing his truth. It's you got truth strapped on you, man. When the enemy sees you, he should see the truth of God that pierces him. He should see that coat of many colors. The promises of God is oozing from within you outwards like a wonderful garment. He should see the covenant promises that, yeah, Christ crushed his head. And you can crush his head too with Jesus' foot. Because you're stepping, you're his body, right? He's the head, we're the body. Use that body just to crush his head, man. Crush the demon's head, man. Crush his skull. And if he still comes at you, just like David, release the rock. Crush him. Just crack his skull. And pick up that sword, and just take his head off. The most glory you could ever give to God is just you walking in God's nature. Because that's what he originally created you to be like, in the image of God. He didn't create you to feast on the knowledge about God, or the knowledge about Satan, evil. He created you to be in his image, his natures, what he's like, to express and to feel his emotions. God is spirit. So it's just like, you know, natural emotions, that's all cool. Natural thoughts, that's cool. How about God's thoughts, the mind of Christ? How about God's emotions, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding? These are yours. All things are yours. Hallelujah. So just receive. You don't have to walk in all that stuff anymore. You've been set free. Now believe it by faith. And walk it out. Walk it out. Walk with Christ and walk with God in the cool of the day. Walk with God through the earth garden and water it everywhere you go. How do you water the earth garden, Chris? Your relationship and intimacy with Jesus. Where the place where you love God from, that's your first love gate. That's your connection with God. You walk with God in his garden, and he walks with you in the earth garden, and you water it through your relationship with God. As the river of life flows through your mouth and through your heart, you just water it, and people around you can feel it. People around you can feel him, because you're walking in an open heaven, and you'll be walking on earth as you are in heaven. You know, what did that scripture about Jesus? No man has ascended to heaven except for the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He spoke that when he was on the earth. You know, we sit with Christ in heavenly places. Right now, as our bodies are on the earth, we're connected. We're one spirit with the Lord. He was baptized with the Lord as one spirit. And so you're never separated. So it's easy to pray to God now. It's like you don't have to pray for him like he's millions of miles away. Look deep inside, within your first love gate, there he is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And hope is only hope until it's manifest glory out through your very being, and other people around you will confirm it, because they'll get whacked. They'll feel the peace of God that is exploding through your heart. And I love the gospel. It's the gospel of the happy God and the God of glory. He did everything for us, and all we do is just by faith step out of everything that we think we knew, and we step into the mind of Christ. We step into him, and we walk in him. In him we live, we move, we have our being in God. Hallelujah. And we just get our mind renewed. The more time we spend in the manifest presence, there's something coming in my room right now. The more time we spend in the manifest presence of God, is the more we'll be renewed. It's the more we go from glory to glory, to what God is like, to what God is like. We see God, and that image, like that nature enters us. That part of God that we see enters us. And you can walk in that very nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, there's a really nice presence of the Lord in my room right now. I don't know if it's around me or in me, but I feel you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, break them all free. They're all free anyway. I'm just like, yes, oh, shaka. You know what I'm saying, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Take a breath of heaven. Take a deep breath of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the mind of Christ. Thank you for the keys of the kingdom. If you want confirmation of what I'm saying, it's like, what gives you the authority to do all this and say all this? Well, one is experience. Two, God told me years ago, I was in a worship meeting and I was praying like this. And I ran away from all my friends because I didn't want them to distract me during worship. And so I'm like this praying to Jesus. Well, not praying, but worshiping. And then I open up my eyes in the natural and I see this girl dancing during this worship service, and she's going like this. Like she's trapped. And the audible voice of God speaks in my spirit saying, so many of my people are in bondage. What are you going to do about it? I thought, what am I going to do about it? I thought, that's your job, Jesus. So many of my people are in bondage. What are you going to do about it? So I'm like, I just close my eyes again, and I'm like this, and I look in my hand. I'm holding a ring of keys. And instantly the understanding comes, I got the keys of the kingdom? I got the keys to open these prison doors and let the people out? It is my job, but it's not me. It's Christ who does the works. He wants to use his body. He wants to use my mouth to speak. He wants to use my body to hug people so they can feel God. I'm holding these keys and I realize what the keys are. I got the keys of the kingdom. One is worship. When I worship, I open my heart to God and atmospheres and glory realms come and people get free. Another one was revelation. I speak the mysteries of God. It's not really that deep. They're just keys that God's allowed in my life that I've broken free from certain things. And then if it works for me, it'll work for you. God's no respecter of persons. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'm testifying that Jesus has set me free from depression, anxiety, all those things. And it's I'm prophesying into your life. And I'm giving you the keys. You have the keys of the kingdom too. I'm not that special. I'm not even in a ministry. I'm just your bro that makes videos. Basic daily discipleship tips. I'm telling you, man, you don't have to stay in bondage. So I just, worship. The keys of the kingdom. The heart gate, the first love gate. The more wider you can open it, the more of him comes through it. Whatever you project, whatever you feast on, taking on the inside, that's what you project to the outside. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. If your heart is on God, he's your treasure. You project him outwards. If your treasure is the world, you project more of the world outwards. But if it's God, you're the light of the world. He's the light of the world through you. The body is the lamp of the eye, right? Or the eye is the lamp of the body, I mean. The eye is the lamp of the body. Gives light. There's this peculiar scripture. What is it? Ecclesiastes? Oh, no, I just lost my train of thought. Thank you, Lord. So, my qualifications... I'm dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. Listen, if you can't hear what the Spirit is saying, then you need to go spend time with the Spirit. Spend time with Holy Spirit. Spend time with Christ. Spend time with the Father. Worship him. Put your hand on your heart. Put on a CD. Just surrender. Surrender everything. Surrender your victories. Surrender your failures. Surrender your body, your soul, your spirit. Surrender everything to God. And that's the most freeing place you'll ever live, is in full surrender to God. Because what you hang on to is what pulls you. Surrender everything to God. And just be pulled right into his heart. And walk in the Father's heart. Walk through the earth realm and in his garden, as he walks in your garden as one. You can walk with God just like Adam walked. You've been translated into the kingdom of light. Enoch was translated and he was not. We've been translated into the kingdom of God, but here we are to manifest that reality into the earth realm. You know, John the Baptist, Jesus said to him, there was no other greater prophet than John the Baptist, because he got them into the water and he baptized them. But we can baptize people with living water as we open up, we project God out through our lives. We're just like these vessels where God just pours through. And God pours his eternal life right through us, through our mouths, through our hearts, through our atmospheres, through our minds. He pours himself through us as the body of Christ, bringing, baptizing people into the river of life. Baptizing people. He said he's going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Why? Because the spirit of prophecy is going to manifest. There's going to be dreams from God, visions, the open heavens, realms of God just crashing through the earth, through the body of Christ, and sovereignly from heaven above. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God within. And so that's why the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, because John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ to come through you. Got them in the river so that they can surrender everything. And now we're in the river of life, surrendering everything so that everything of the river of life can come flushing through the body of Christ, washing away the flesh. It's going to be as the days of Noah, right? What got washed away in the days of Noah? What died? All flesh. God's going to wash away the flesh nature by the river of life flowing through his people. It was a foreshadow. It was prophesying what's to come. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Let's learn of his ways. Hallelujah. Take a big drink of the gospel. God, I just take my cup and I dip it in the river of life and I just drink. Just carefree. Not caring what people think. Not going to water down the gospel. It's already full of the river of life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to put some earthly water on it. Oh, shaka. Hallelujah. Yeah. All things are yours. Jesus. God. Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Angel power. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. Angels minister to Jesus in the wilderness. Angels minister to Jesus. So you need angels to minister to you too. He's the way. Everything that Jesus did on the earth, he's going to do again through his body on the earth. Hallelujah. So it's okay to ask God to send a bunch of angels to surround you and fight the battle. They're ministering spirits sent to perform his word. So God, let the angels come and perform your word. Let them fight the battle. Let them push darkness back. And I just stand in faith in Christ. I don't worship angels. It's foolishness. We already learned that from the Bible and the book, you know, John. Shows that he showed us what not to do. Don't bow down to the angels, man. We worship God in the spirit and in truth. We surrender our lives to God. And angels are just like a pastor. It's a ministering spirit. What do you think a pastor is supposed to do? He ministers the spirit of God. So like an evangelist, he ministers the spirit. Angels, they minister. They're ministering spirits of fire. So angels are cool. We don't worship them. I welcome them. Just like I welcome a pastor. I welcome an evangelist. I welcome a prophet. I welcome an apostle. I welcome a son of God. I welcome a Christian. And we can just converse. But we all worship God. You know, it's okay, I'm a little weird, Bobby, man. It's all about God. Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Spending time with him and letting him live through you. And yeah, it's good to receive the tools of heaven. If he's gonna sent angels with manna bread to strengthen Elijah, or whatever. Was that Elijah with the bread? I can't remember. Hallelujah. Yeah, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, it's full of people having encounters with angels, and yeah, it doesn't make me want to worship an angel. It just makes me more hungry for God in reality. It's like, man, these beings are here. Cool. Let's worship God, angel. Let's just put our hearts and affections on Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I've said that. I've said that before when angels appeared. Let's just spend time with God. Anyways, yeah, I'm about done this video. I hope this... I know these are keys. They're pride. They're pride rebuke it. Get out of here, pride. They're proven. They're proven and true. These keys do work. They're the keys of the kingdom. And I mean, why not speak the word of God out loud? Why not read the word of God out loud? Why not stop the torment and just receive perfect love? You know? So stay blessed in the gospel. Stay blessed. Every blessing above comes from the Father of lights, you know. It all comes from Him. So look to Him as your source. Your Father is for you. He's not against you. Yeah, just receive His love. Get renewed in your mind. Get renewed. Feast on the tree of life fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to search it out. Ask God to blow you up in that. Like, there's a lot of glory on those fruits, man. I remember just doing videos about, I was trying to do a little teaching on it. I got so blown up. The more I would teach about it, the more the fruit of the Spirit would manifest in the room. And the whole video just went haywire. And I just sat on my bed laughing. I couldn't even teach. So go to Galatians 5 and just decree that over your life. And all the fruits of the flesh, just break that off of your life. Galatians chapter 5. Check it out. Stay blessed. You are blessed in Christ.